Well, good morning. Good morning. This is definitely a beautiful area. Mr. Mapes was mentioning such a beautiful area. It's the first time my wife and myself and my family have been here. We have both sons and daughter-in-law here, and we are just enjoying it tremendously. The only thing we're having a concern about with is the lack of humidity. Now, in California, we don't have a lot of humidity where we live in the Great Central Valley. Just inside this great central valley in California. But we have less here, a lot less, and we're at 7,000 feet, which means we have about 80% of the oxygen. So make a little noise here or something. Okay, let's get started. Got a message for you today. I hope you find this interesting. Because at the feast, we are being fed God's Word, and we are so excited about that. What kind of a feast are you going to experience this year, brethren? That's kind of a strange question, I guess, but maybe I should say, what kind of feast are you planning to have this year, brethren? Because what your focus is will affect the quality of your feast experience. What we focus on will affect the quality of our feast experience. On the second day of the feast, we will cover some material that will help us all get really into the feast mode. You know, the holy day is done. Now we got 7 days to go out and really enjoy the feast. Topics I hope that will help the newest and the most experienced feast goers, because God wants us all to have a fantastic feast. So let's make this feast really count. If you want a title, let's make this feast really count. Let's begin by asking the question, why do we keep the feast? It's always a good question to ask at the beginning. Let's turn over to Leviticus 23, please. Leviticus 23. Now, fortunately, this was handled a little earlier, but it was out of Deuteronomy. So we'll go to Leviticus 23. It's always good to read these scriptures at the feast to get our bearings, so to speak. You know, keeping the feast is something very few in the world do. We are unique, or as God says, a strange people. And to do it requires that we have character, conviction, and strong belief. It's not always easy to keep the feast. Have any of you lost a job trying to keep the feast? Some of us have. Have any of you lost your life trying to keep the feast? No, we're not in Syria. But it could happen at some point. So we have to know why we keep the feast, and we have to be convicted. Leviticus 23 and verse 1. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are the feasts of the Jews, and we don't have to keep them. Is that what it says? No, these are my feasts, God says. It's important to note because the rest of the world doesn't know that. They keep other days, like Jesus' celebration and pagan goddess and the fuzzy-tailed marsupial. You know, I mean, they have all kinds of feasts they keep, but not these. These are my feasts. Leviticus 23, verse 33. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 33 through 36, speak to the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. The first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. And on the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall offer an offering made by fire. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work. Down in verse 39, also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Now, we don't keep the feast in that way. That's the way they made temporary dwellings back then. If we were to do that here, we'd all get in trouble. All those beautiful aspen trees would be denuded of all the foliage, you know, and they wouldn't invite us back next year. They say, these people come in and tear the place up. But we stay in temporary dwellings. Now, this is a pretty nice temporary dwelling. Everyone agree? Yeah. That's one of the nicer places we stayed for the feast, and we really are enjoying ourselves. And you shall keep this feast to the Lord for 7 days. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. So we keep the feast because God commanded it to do it. It wasn't our idea. I never would have in a million years thought of this myself. I was raised as a good Catholic. We kept all the good days, you know, the ones that good Catholics keep. We didn't keep the feast. When we were called, God opened our mind to this, and that's why we do it. And as Mr. Berg mentioned earlier in the feast, these feasts were actually established before any sacrifices were established. These feasts are statutes to be kept forever. Now, God is a perfect parent. Everyone agree? Some of us fall a little short. We try, but we fall short. But God is the perfect parent. You know, Mr. Keller showed us that he loves us very much. And when we start comparing it to grandchildren, that touches all of us, doesn't it? Even if we don't have any, those little tiny, beautiful babies. That made into picture. God loves us very much. He's also a God of purpose, and he's very intentional. He's not the kind of God that throws a little mud against the wall and finds out what sticks. He specifically called each one of us that's in this room. And he has a plan. He always has a plan. He has a plan for all mankind, and he has a plan for all of us individually. So in a sense, we're here as a group to hear the words God has for us, but in a sense, we're also here as individuals. God has something special for each and every one of us. The Feast of Tabernacles is an important part of that plan to help us to live as they are intended to live at the time when the kingdom of God rules on this earth. To benefit most from the feast, we and our children have focused on the following three things from the beginning. Our kids were in the feast from the moment they were conceived. Fortunately, my wife and I were called when we were pretty young. And our kids had the benefit of that. And what we taught them as we grew up were three points. Three points are good for why to keep the feast. The first point, fear God and worship him. Now, the order is important here. That's why I put it first. Fear God and worship him. You know, Leviticus 23, verses 33 through 36 said it is a holy assembly, a sacred, holy convocation. This is a vacation with purpose. Yes, we have to have a good time. We have to enjoy ourselves, but it's a vacation with purpose. We should be present mentally and physically, and we should focus. We should be God-centered when attending the feast. We should have the purpose found in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. I apologize a little for the raspy voice. It's about two octaves lower than I normally speak, but the dryness is affecting it. I know it's the dryness because I took a shower this morning and had a lot of steam. Everything went back to normal. Came down here, and here we are. So we'll figure this out by the end of the feast, I'm sure. Then we'll go back and have to suffer in the Central Valley, 100-degree temperatures. It'll be wonderful, I'm sure. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12, it says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God and walk in his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which the feasts are, which I commanded you today for your good." God is never going to ask us to do something that's going to be bad for us or our family. He's the perfect parent, remember? So maybe when we first hear about this, you say, how am I going to do that? You know, the second tithe and all of that, I don't know how to do it. I can't come. Flow. Just flow with it. God will show you what to do with it. He will take you through it. What he asks us to do is always good for us because he's the perfect parent. Fearing God implies the highest respect for him, for his law, and the intent to walk in that way. Now, we're not perfect. We know that. We sometimes trip over the things, and we fall down. One person said, when you fall forward, at least you're moving the right direction. But we do fall, don't we? Even in a beautiful place like this, some of us are going to fall, spiritually and physically. But God said, do this. This is the good thing. We should have the highest respect for him in all aspects of what we do. Psalm 9, verses 1. And 2. Psalms 9, verses 1 and 2. This is a psalm of David. David says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I think it's really neat someday when we find out the music that went with this. You know, these are all songs, but we don't know the music. The music never came through. It was traditional. We don't know what it's going to sound like, but the words are very impressive. I will tell you a tale of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. It was remarkable. David, with all his foibles, was a man after God's own heart because he loved God and he repented deeply whenever he sinned. He was an example for all of us. We should come with an open mind and a teachable attitude. Psalm 25 and verse 4. Psalm 25 and verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day. The feast is a time of intensive training. You're going to hear more sermons, sermonettes, attend Bible studies, sessions, be with people of God more than any other time of the year. Let's make it count. Let's use it to God's glory and our training. It will give messages to each of us so we can personally grow in grace and knowledge and do what needs to be done so that we can qualify to rule when God comes and brings that kingdom to this earth. For once there will be righteous government, and we are going to be working for him and helping everyone. Second point, after respecting and fearing God and worshiping him, is to fellowship. To fellowship. Psalm 133, verse 1. Fellowship. See, from the sound of the conversation before services, I think we're getting that one pretty well. It's hard to get everyone to sit down and start services on time. But we're going to fellowship, and we do that well. Psalm 33, 133 and verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 2, it's like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded a blessing, life evermore. In fellowshipping, we should keep in mind what it says over in Philippians 5, or 4 and verse 5. Philippians. Go to the New Testament here. Philippians 5, or 4, excuse me. I said that twice wrong. Philippians 4 and verse 5, verse 5 through 8. Philippians 4, verse 5 through 8. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Peace of mind through Jesus Christ in a crazy world that's going crazier every moment. Peace of mind through Christ. Finally, brethren, it says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, God intends for us to use this time to build strong friendships within the body of Christ. At present, we have a great deal of unity in the church. We are blessed. However, it would be easy because of the present distress outside the church to be negative, to pull back, to be discouraged, or let our conversations descend into discussions about non-profitable, productive topics. Like watching CNN over and over again. CNN, constantly negative news. That's what it stands for. And the others aren't any better. And the others aren't any better. And it's all filtered, you know. We're being told what we're supposed to be told by the people in power. It's all filtered. It's hard to get the facts. It's easy to be negative, but it's godly to be positive. We are currently co-workers, fellow laborers in Christ in this present state. In the future, we will be kings and priests ruling with him. The feast is training for that. And the last one, the one my kid always loved, the last one was have fun. Worship God, fellowship, have fun. You know, and this is the time of year when we are allowed to have fun. In fact, we are encouraged. In fact, we are commanded to have fun. Let's go to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13. This is a good section of scripture. All the kids are going to like this. All of us kids, from the very youngest to the very oldest. We like to have fun. Fun is good. Good, clean fun. Fun today, fun tomorrow, fun to tell the kids about. That's what we used to take. That's the kind of fun we want to have. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress. And you shall rejoice in your feast. You and your son and your daughter and your male servant and your female servant and the Levite and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who's within your gates. That's just about everybody, I would think. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in a place which he chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all your work of your hands, so that you should surely rejoice. God says rejoice a number of times there, and he means it. Rejoice means having a good time within the parameters of God's law. And you know, sometimes I think we don't know how to do that. In our work world, we're totally under pressure. We don't really know how to rejoice. Everyone's making demands. We have schedules. We don't have schedules here. Be here at 10 in the morning. That's all you have to do. After that, we don't have schedules. You can participate in the activities as it fits your family needs. But God says rejoice. Rejoice. The feast is a time to eat, to drink, to laugh, to play, to dance, to enjoy good things that God has created for our benefit. You know, originally it was a harvest festival. It still is a harvest festival. The problem is none of us harvest anymore. Right? You know, 2% of the people in this country actually live on the farm. Now, if it was 80%, we would know what a harvest festival was all about, wouldn't we? But we don't know. We don't know what it's about. It's a time of plenty. In the agriculture community, it was a time of plenty. It was a time to take a break after working really hard day and night. You notice that some tractors have lights on them and they work in the fields at night to get that crop in before the rains come and they can't get in the fields anymore. I live in California now, but I was raised in Illinois. In Illinois, you have to get that crop out of the field before the rain and the snow comes, or you can't get anything in the field to get the crop out of the field. So just leave it, I guess. Let the cattle eat it later. It's a harvest festival. It's a time to take a break after getting all those crops in it. It was a time when you knew that the supply of food for the next year was safe and sound and you had a life again. It's a time to celebrate. Time to celebrate. Psalm 65. I had a deacon in our area do a sermonette and he keyed in on this, and I thought this would be perfect for the feast. So he's speaking at the feast today through me because I love the scripture. It's very it paints a picture. Psalm 65, verse 11. Psalm 65, verse 11, another psalm of David. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. Picture a wagon going down a path on a farm, piled high with produce. And it's so much that as you hit the bumps, stuff falls off. And there's tomatoes over here, and there's a little fruit over there, and a few other things. As it's gone, there's so much abundance, a wagon won't hold it all. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. Clothed with flocks, wool on the pasture, a lot of sheep. And the valleys are also covered with grain. And they shout for joy. They also sing. Time of harvest, a good time. We are commanded, brethren, that's a hard command to do, I know, but we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to rejoice in all the blessings that we have been given. So how do we do that? Let's talk about some specifics. While at the feast, some specifics. First thing I have on my list here, and again, this is not an all-encompassing list. You can take this list and you can modify it to your needs. I encourage you to do that. If If you have small children, take those 3 points. We didn't think them up. We got them someplace else. It's okay to use them, not copyrighted. Worship God, fellowship, have fun. How are we going to do that? First thing I would say, attend service. 10 services. We have services in the morning, usually, and sometimes on the holy days, 2 times. On the first one, I know we didn't because we had the night before. Attend services. What does God have personally for you this year? If you're not here, you may not hear it. If you come with that open, teachable mind, the Holy Spirit will put it in there. I can think of specific feasts where I got information that I needed to take the next step in my spiritual growth. Our first feast was in 1971 in Squaw Valley. This sounds beautiful, 300 people. Picture 9,000 in an arena, a metal building. Wow. And just to add a little flavor, when Mr. Armstrong came by, he would buzz the arena with his jet. I like airplanes. It was wonderful. Wow. Attend services. There was an old saying that says, when the student is ready, the master will appear. Well, they have a lot of men out here that have been preparing. And God has been working with them and is going to work with our spirit and with your spirit to give you the information you need. But he's not going to come up and grab you out of your room, pull you down here. You got to come. Okay? God will lead you. He won't not drag you. Just like with me. We got to be here. Be at services on time. And services will be an excellent opportunity to train your children. You know, if you have children that don't sit too well in services, 7 days in a row they're going to get it. Okay? Or you're going to be a mess. Don't be too hard on them. Don't be too hard on them. They are small children. They are learning. God's not hard on us, is he? He lets us make lots of mistakes, and he picks us up and says, dusts us off and says, come on, you can do it. He doesn't go, well, you tried walking once. That's it. You're done. Sit down. You're never going to walk again. No, he says, come on. Come on. You know, like the little grandchild, right? Come on, you can do it. So attend services. God has something specifically for you. I don't know what it is, but I'm looking for mine. I've heard things already that are important to me. You listen, and God will have it. Maintain your health. Maintain your health. You can't be here if you're not well. Many times during the feast, I've gone to rooms and anointed people who were not physically able to come here. And I was a little concerned when I was kind of congested this morning, thinking, oh, man, I'm going to talk about health, and here I am, Mr. Example. Right? No, I know what that is. We will figure it out as we go. Health comes in different flavors. Spiritual. Remember to pray every day. I learned that at my first feast in 1971. My wife and I had been in the church 4 months, and I never had gotten from anything to that point that I should pray every day. Maybe I was just too short. Right? Went over my head. But at feast, somebody gave a sermon. I don't even remember who it was, but I remember we should be praying every day. And at the feast, we should do the same thing. You want to hear good sermons? Pray for the sermon giver. Despite whoever he might be, he will give you a good sermon. I guarantee it. That's how it works. Pray for the sermon. Pray for the sermonettes. God will hear your prayers. Pray every day. Don't forget, you know, we're in tight quarters and everything else. Sometimes it's kind of hard. We're getting up the last minute, getting the kids ready, got to get down there. Forgot to pray. Oh, rats. Find a place to do it. Find a closet. Find a bathroom. Make sure no one needs to use it. Go in there. Do it. Get out. Come. Find a way. Mental. You're going to be living closer to a lot of people in the next week or so. You may need a little time off. Take a walk. Stay positive. Stay positive. Physical. Find some time to exercise, to hike. We have a beautiful swimming pool out here. Have you used a pool? I know you haven't used the gym because I've been there and haven't seen you. Yeah, the gym is also very nice. Very nice exercise room. Lots of equipment, free weights, machines, and you look out on the beautiful pool. If you have kids, all kids love to swim, I think. Take them in the pool. And it's still warm enough to do that. Good thing to do. Go hiking. What a beautiful place to hike. The only thing I can think of in California closest is like Tahoe. Do you ever get to California? This is close to Tahoe. Except there's a big lake there too. Monster Lake. Lake Tahoe. Diet. Go for quality rather than quantity. Go for quality rather than quantity. A case of Lucky Lager does not an abundance feast make. Drink one of those green bottles. It's a better one. or some of the ones, local brews here, or some strong drink. But in moderation. Don't come in the morning saying, oh, I can't believe I stayed up that late or drank that much. We don't want to hear that. We want you here alive and well and alert to what we're going to be doing. It's going to be good. Eat good food. Drink good wine. Decide how many meals you can eat. You know, early on, again, first feast, big growth experience for us. We were like NFL players that get the big contract and you have a pile of money in your hand. You know how that is, and they ruin their lives in one season. Well, a lot of people with second tithe are the same way. Having 10% of your money to spend in 1 week, woohoo, let's go, you know? And then we eat ourselves to sickness. Cheesecake 5 days a week doesn't work for me. I spent days six and seven sick at the feast, my first feast. I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore. And I don't know how much you can tolerate, but that's my tolerance level on that. I don't take that much sugar. And I have never met a cookie I didn't like, so I got to watch it, okay? Plan activities, but leave room for opportunities. You know, every year, we do things as a family. We have family traditions in our family. You may have some, too. Think about what family traditions you have and which ones you'd like to do if you don't. Plan something that you look forward to every year. One year, every year we do, Mom and Dad takes the family out for a good steak, a nice restaurant. And we discuss the year and where everyone's going and what we want to do. And we just sit down as a family and really enjoy it. That's what we do. If it's in San Diego, it's Ruth Chris. If it's in Hawaii, it's Mama's Fish House. You know, if it's here, it's going to be E3, I think. I'm not sure. We'll find out. But that's what we do. You may have something else you do. Some people used to camp. Feast was a camping thing, a family camping thing. And it's a good thing to do. Find yours and build them. Enhance old friendships. Meet people you haven't seen in a long time. And build new friendships. Meet some new ones. You know, we've attended a lot of feasts in recent years, like Kelowna in Canada. You know, we knew three people there. Us. You know, the rest we did not know. Eh? You know how the Canadians are. But, you know, Canadians tend to be a little like this until they get to know you. And once they get to know you, they're like, wow, wonderful people. You know, we left, there were like 300 people maybe there. We knew, I think, five when we were there, and we came out knowing hundreds. And some of those friendships have lasted to this day. Meet some new people. Serve at the feast. Serve at the feast. Serving with balance. It benefits those being served, and it benefits you. Involve your children, but with balance. Don't have something going every day for an hour before and an hour after services and then spend all night doing something else. Now, there are a few people that do stuff like that, and you guys are blessed to be able to do that. But most of us need a little break. If you help usher, that means you don't have to have someone else usher in their place, and they may have a day off. Sometimes you go to feast sites, and the ushers do every day, every single day. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works. Do you understand what that means? We are created to serve, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We are created to serve. I was on a business trip once, and I was in the Oakland airport waiting to go, and I was sitting in a little cafe they had there, and next to me was a pilot. He was a pilot, nice, tall, good, handsome-looking guy, and he had a brown suit on. Most pilots don't wear brown suits. And I looked out on the tarmac, and there was an airplane, a brown airplane. And I said, do you fly for UPS? He says, matter of fact, we do. I said, you do? He said, I said, it looks like a DC-8. He says, yeah, it's an old airplane, but it's a good airplane. We've refurbished them all and everything. But he said it has one problem. If you let it sit too long, it falls apart. The engines start leaking. You go to fire them up and they don't work anymore. So if you keep them flying, they work. Well, yeah, airplanes are made to fly, not sit on the ground. We are made to serve, not sit in our chairs. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. Airplanes are made to fly. Cows are made for steaks. We are made to serve. We got to practice what we're supposed to be doing. We've got to practice what we're supposed to be doing. And the feast is a good time to serve others. Now, if you have lots of money and you're standing in line, buy somebody a Starbucks. That's nice. If you don't have lots of money, talk to somebody that needs to be talked to, needs to be spoken with. Somebody who's on the edge, that's alone in this crowd. I don't know who they are. I'll give you another real good example. Our first feast was phenomenal in every way. Now, we had been in the church 4 months. And I was an engineer. I worked in the aerospace program. I had lots of money. But we wanted to do it God's way. You know, God said, save second tithe. We said, okay, you tell me go to feast. You tell me save second tithe. I'm test driving you, God. I'm here. You know, I'm an engineer. I test things. It has to work, right? So we were going to do the feast on 4 months worth of second tithe, which was a pittance by today's standards. You couldn't buy two nights in here for that what we had when we went to the feast. But that was a long time ago, 1971. And on the last, at the near the end of the feast, funds were running kind of low. Now again, I could have dipped into personal funds to do it, but we were doing well. And we used to go to this place called Ma Nature's, run by a couple of hippies. Great place for breakfast. You know, free range eggs before we knew what those were. Fresh squeezed orange juice. You want orange juice? They pull a box, pull it up, put the orange in. You know, fresh squeezed orange juice. Really good stuff. Ma Nature's. And we were standing in line getting ready to buy our breakfast, and there was this man. He was an old guy. Had a bald head. I know he was old because he had a bald head. I was in my early 20s, so anybody then was old. His name was Henry Fox. Anybody remember Henry Fox from the Long Beach Church? Remember him? Yeah. And he was behind us in line. He said, I'll take care of those. I said, well, you don't have to do that. And he said, I don't see how you can stop me. Yes, sir. And you know what? We came home from that feast with $5 in our pocket, including buying the gas and everything else. God knew it. He directed him, and he gave us a blessing. And we're used to always paying our way, but you know, that was kind of neat. I always remember him. I'm sure he's long dead, but I always remember him. Final point I want to just mention is safety. You know, we are living the life of the kingdom of God. Out there, they are not. If you leave your wallet undertended, it will disappear. Watch your children. Watch your car. People smoke things in this state that are not good. They will drive funny. We in California, we say distracted and impaired. On their cell phones, and just had an argument with the wife, whatever, they're on the road commuting. Watch out for those people. Here we got distracted and impaired too, I'm sure, even in this small little area. Watch out for safety. So in conclusion, I would just like to say, what kind of feast are you planning to have this year, brethren? Because our focus will greatly affect the quality of our feast experience. Let's come together this year and rejoice before the Lord, to worship Him, to fellowship, to have fun. And let's make this feast really count.